Hi. This week the question is, what does the Bible say about euthanasia? Euthanasia is the technical term for mercy killing. This is the practice of helping an elderly, deformed, or suffering person out of their misery by killing them. Those who believe in this practice view themselves as being kind, merciful, and caring because they believe they are helping someone. If they were in the other man's place, why, they would want someone to kill them so they would not have to suffer through the days ahead. Our question this week is, what does the Bible have to say about this subject? Is it right to kill someone who is suffering and who might die anyway? I believe that euthanasia is wrong and opposed to the Scriptures for several reasons, and I want to present some of those reasons for your consideration. First, the Scriptures plainly forbid murder. In Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, the Bible says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Because this command is in the New Testament, it is therefore binding today, since the New Testament Scriptures are God's will for us today. In this very same chapter, we are taught that civil government has the right to execute those who are guilty of a crime, verses 1 through 4. But we see also that the government is supposed to protect the innocent and the weak. Amazingly, many advocates of euthanasia and abortion, while demanding the right to kill innocent and helpless victims, are also opposed to capital punishment for guilty, convicted criminals. This reasoning and attitude is clearly contrary to the principles and the teachings of the Scriptures. Romans chapter 13 clearly teaches that guilty criminals must be punished, and innocent, weak, and helpless people should be loved and aided. And for this reason, euthanasia is wrong. Number two, euthanasia is built upon the false premise that men are fit judges of what constitutes a useful, productive life. In other words, euthanasia teaches that when life is no longer productive, we may put an end to that life. Men then take it upon themselves to decide and judge what constitutes a useful life and what constitutes an unproductive, useless, and worthless life. As already mentioned, when this judgment is left up to man's wisdom, those who are convicted criminals are spared death and provided luxurious living conditions in state and federal penitentiaries, while helpless, weak, and elderly victims who ought to be encouraged and aided are targeted for death. Only God has the right to judge and decide when life shall end. He's the giver of life, Genesis 1:27, and the sustainer of life, Acts 17:24-28. Only He has the right to decide what kind of life is productive and worth sparing, and what kind of life is unproductive and not worth sparing. Very clearly, God has stated that convicted criminals who have committed capital crimes deserve to die, Romans 13:1-5. But He has also revealed that those who are elderly, weak, and helpless do have lives that are worth sparing and protecting. We're instructed to visit the widows and orphans in their afflictions, James 1, verse 27. We're to rise up and show respect and honor to our elderly citizens, Leviticus 19:32, 1 Timothy 5, 1-3. We are to bear the burdens of those who are weak, Galatians 6:2. We who are strong are supposed to help the weak, Romans 15, verse 1. We are to do good to all men, Galatians 6:10. We are to honor and reverence our parents, Ephesians 6:1-3. This includes not only showing respect, but also caring for them in their last days. Job and his life illustrate well the fact that man, with his wisdom, is incapable of judging what constitutes life worth sparing and life which should be terminated. If you'll take the time to read the entire book of Job, you will see that God allowed Satan to attack Job and take away all that he owned. On a second attack, Satan took away Job's health and inflicted him with severe suffering. Boils covered him from head to toe, and he was miserably suffering and forsaken by all. Job's wife, like many today, felt that his suffering made his life worthless and no longer productive. From her human point of view, she thought it best if Job would just die. In Job 2, verses 9 and 10, his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Listen to this and take it to heart. Job said his wife spoke as a foolish woman. We should learn to accept good and adversity and never charge God foolishly. Sometimes God has a reason for allowing people to suffer. Physical suffering is not the worst thing that could possibly happen to men. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 10, the Apostle Paul said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" End quote. Now, according to this passage, suffering teaches us dependence on God. It also teaches us humility. But euthanasia argues that suffering is the ultimate enemy and should be eliminated at all cost. Euthanasia cannot see that any good could possibly come from suffering, and that men should take matters in their own hands and end what they consider to be senseless suffering. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, the Bible says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When the outward man suffers, the inward man is strengthened and renewed. Therefore, because men are incapable of properly judging when life is productive and when it is unproductive and worthless, euthanasia is wrong." Number 3, euthanasia is wrong because it cheapens life. Man was made in the image of God, according to Genesis 1:27. This life is to be protected and preserved. When anyone takes the life of another human being, God takes it as a personal attack upon himself, because that which is in God's image has been destroyed. Therefore, God will not tolerate the killing of innocent human life. In Genesis 9, verse 6, the Bible says, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." Our bodies were created for the Lord, 1 Corinthians 6:13. Our bodies are described as the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. And we are to glorify God in our bodies, which are God's, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. We are not to defile or damage our bodies because we are to use them for His glory, honor, and service, Romans 14, 7-8. Any attempt to cheapen, wreck, destroy or eliminate the life which God gave to be used for His glory is wrong. Rather than cheapening life, we should be honoring life and using it to honor and serve God. So for these reasons, I believe the Bible teaches euthanasia to be wrong and sinful. Thank you for considering this message this week. I invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. That's willofthelord.com, and there are no spaces between those words, willofthelord.com. There, at our website, you may download the notes and the audio file of this message you just listened to. I invite you to call again next week when we consider a new subject on Bible Talk.